Good morning and welcome to all of you. Just a beautiful time of, of worship. Thank you for that. As I was preparing for this, you know, observing of in conversation with people or places you go in the last, whether it's the last week or the last month, or maybe in the last 6 months, what is, sometimes you hear like, well, that's the second time I heard that in 2 weeks, or, you know, that's the third time I've heard that in the last month, or, you know, that's three times I heard that this morning. It's kind of what I'm observing, and out of that is what I feel I want to share. And maybe you'll think of, it's very similar to what we've been hearing for the last, I don't know how many messages that Austin preached. I didn't keep track of them. I've already lost track of that. So, you know, we hear it, but we don't hear it. We see it, but we don't see it. But here just recently, I had shared this with some of you. We were doing some employee evaluations, and through all of that, we ended up sharing with one of the Amish girls about salvation, and she just became part of the church member, and it came up in conversation, and we were able to talk to her, and you know, I just thrive, or there's something that takes place when you get done with a conversation. I don't know if you've experienced that. I'm sure you have. And that was one. And then, like I said, how many messages did we hear on Harvest? Do you remember? 9, 10? Did the rest of you remember that? I didn't, but we've heard it. 3 weeks ago or so, we went over to the falls over to in Millwood there, Honey Run Falls, and with Mom and Dad. And here we met this couple. They were just kind of wandering around there with a couple of their kids. And of course, my father-in-law, he usually finds out who people are. We got to talking to this couple, and it's like, where are you from? And he told us, and what's your last name? And he said, Schrock. But finally, I started taking a little notice here. I'm like, well, there's not that many Schrocks around. I have relatives. I said, so who's your dad or who's your grandpa? And he said, well, my grandpa was Malin Schrock. My dad was Jacob. So it happens to be my first cousin's son, Joe Schrock. Old Order Amish. Staunch, if you know what I mean. Very, I remembered about 6, 7 years ago at evangelistic tent meetings in Holmes County, when Dave Miller was up there, Joe was there, and he was not born again. And for him to step out of that setting, as many of you know, that was not an easy process. And I had not met him since. And I remember talking to him that night, just briefly, that he was there, and he was, I don't know if he, so I asked him that night, but it was soon after that he got saved. And a couple weeks later, actually just 3 weeks ago, we were at Chris and Tam's, the men who got together there, and Bobby and I happened to be sitting together there, and in conversation, I don't know how we got into this conversation, but we were talking about when Bobby's parents left the Amish. And I said, so what motivated you, or how did that take place? And he said, well, there was a good friend of theirs that attended the church in Sugar Creek where the gospel, the salvation, was more clearly preached. And Uncle Norman was preaching. And through that, they left the Amish and went to a conservative church and were born again. And someone led them, that Bobby's not here this morning, but someone led them to the Lord. It's like, well, do you want to do that right here? And they said, yes. And I was browsing YouTube here recently and different singings, and Ray Comfort comes on. And I think many of you have watched him, and I watched him for one of his little videos of how he witnesses to people. And like, I mean, it just looks like ABC 1, 2, 3. It just looks like we walk, how easy it comes for him to witness. And just, I don't know, was it a week later, happened to, in devotions one morning, Jim Cimbala. It's like, well, I'm going to listen to Jim for a little bit. Here was a message. And he went to Matthew 9, 36, 37. That the harvest is white. The fields are white. The harvest is ready. It's ready to harvest. But the workers are few. And I'm like, is this what I want to talk about this morning? It's like, well, Austin probably didn't do a good enough job. Or why would you do that? I don't know. My wife wanted to be here, but they're taking Emily back to Virginia. I don't know if she said that, but I thought, when she asked me what I'm going to talk about, I don't know that there was anything said, but I almost sensed that, sure. But anyways, here we are. That I'm just telling you, that's what's burning in here. And is it? You know, 10 messages. So sometimes it takes 10 to get to the heart. So I asked myself the question, how am I doing with what I've been hearing? And my answer was not very good. What are you waiting on? What more do you, what? How are we going to fix this? What is the problem? Or what hinders? I jotted a couple things down. Am I too busy? Is it fear? Rejection? Uncomfortable? Distractions? Or proper vision? Do I really see? Let me read. I just want to read Matthew 9. I think we all know the verses, but I want to start in verse 36. Matthew 9, 36. 35. Jesus went about all the cities and the villages teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. And then 36, and when he saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I thought it was interesting in 35, here Jesus is going through these villages. He's teaching and preaching and healing sicknesses and diseases. And then it says, like he was busy doing all these things, and he comes to 36. He said, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. Stop there. So when he saw the multitudes, what did he see? We'll get to that a little bit later on. But after he saw, he called for some help. It seemed like in 35, he was comfortable. He was doing what he needed to do, and he was preaching and teaching. and healing. But all at once, he saw a group of people. He saw a multitude. And he started talking to his disciples. Let's look a little bit aside. What did he see? You know, interesting, the word saw is like, well, I see Johnny or I see Grandpa here. The word saw, I'm not a Greek scholar, but has the idea of he was cut to the heart. He's seen just beyond the physical. He's seen their condition. And what are examples of when you and I, when we see people, when we see things, that we're cut to the heart? I don't know if you have something on your mind right now, but I remembered years ago, spent a year in Haiti back in 84. You know, I'm just looking at some of the severe conditions of people, and I'm like, unbelievable that these people actually live there. That's where they live. Or my sister Arvita, slowly deteriorating of Lou Gehrig's. There's times I'm like, is this really happening? It is. Cut to the heart. I don't know how many of you are aware of the accident recently in Tennessee. 4 youth, 3 of them were killed. And I just, you just stop in your tracks like, what's unbelievable? Cut to the heart. And I think the idea there that when Jesus saw the multitude, he was cut to the heart. That's what he saw. Is that what I see? When I'm looking at people, that he was cut to the heart. And he was moved with compassion. So I would think we as a people would be pretty compassionate people. I think most of you would agree with that. But well, yeah, you have compassion on people. You would assist, and somebody needs help, you will help them. But that word, 2 examples where the word gives a picture. And the first one was the the Good Samaritan. As the priest, the Levite, and the Good Samaritan were traveling, and obviously the first 2 avoided the man that was laying beside the ditch, banged up, beat up. The Good Samaritan stopped, and he saw this guy lay there. He had compassion. That's the picture of compassion was, this guy needs help. We're going to stop. We're going to pick him up. We're going to assist, take him in, and help. I think it was to the fact that he was moved to the point of, we got to do something. We're going to do something here. He saw it, and he moved, and he did something about it. He didn't just... But he saw. And the other example was the prodigal son. The same word is used. As the prodigal son left home, going to do my own thing, go my own way. And when he came to the end of himself, he said, you know what? This is it. This is not working. I'm heading back home. And as he was heading home, it says that the father looked afar off and had compassion on him. It's like, you know what? Didn't criticize him. It's like, we're going to have a feast. Come on home. He was moved with compassion. So we go back to the question, how well are we doing? How well am I doing? How well are we doing as Mount Zion, as a group, as a body? You know, an example came to me as a football team, or baseball, whoever, whatever you want to use. We are practicing. If we use football, I mean, we've been practicing for how long? You know, college football is going to start here before too awful long. And, I mean, we've been conditioning and practicing for how long already? Running plays, looking at videos, and on the drawing board and figuring things out, weight lifts up early morning. The grind is taking place. And opening day comes, and the game is ready to start. And here we are. We're all excited. This is opening day. And halfway through the first quarter, the coach is like, he sees something he doesn't like. He says, hang on a minute. Time out. Calls time out, and he gets everybody over here in a huddle and says, guys, this is not working. We're gonna have to make a few adjustments. We'll be fine, but we gotta stop. And I feel like that is, if it's just for me, that's what God was like. Hang on a minute. We just heard 10 messages. Something's not working. Time out. Let's get back to the drawing board. Do I really see? And do I really have compassion? I wrote down in my notes here that, you know, when you see people, what do you see? at least do something. Or you know, try to rescue people. At least offer help. Have you ever heard about Jesus? At least have you do something about a word of, have you ever heard conversation about Jesus? Or at least pray. Or maybe we need a greater portion of compassion. And I wrote this down, and it's like, you know, we hear a lot of comments about, I refuse to get the jab. I don't want the jab. Some people do, and others didn't. Maybe we need a jab of compassion. Maybe we need to order about a million of those and pass them out and see what would happen. Let's get the jab. God, that's what that's what I need. Do I really? You know, it gave me a whole new picture of what compassion is really about. Does it move me? If it does. So I began to think about, I just wrote down a list of things just yesterday. From yesterday morning when I left the house, who did I meet and what did I see? So I left the house and I went to the bakery to pick up cookies and bread. I seen the Amish loading up a freezer. I think they had a benefit auction over Newcastle area somewhere. It was the old order. And three of the young boys and one fella and one of the Amish guys, I just happened to see it. He was smoking one of these little brown cigarettes. And I was loading my stuff and put it on there, and I said, so we're going to fill those up with fish today? And like, yep, that's what we're doing. Anyways, went from there. I went over to Raber's Bakery and loaded up stuff there. Talked to the owners there, Raber's, the Amish were in there. What was I see? What did I see as I was meeting those people? There was other people shopping there. Came to the store. I was busy. I had a wedding last night, and we were short in help, trying to hurry and do some things. Oh, yeah, and I was on to preach, so I got to get home quick as possible. And I felt like I should stay there, maybe ask Jensen afterwards, but I got to go. No time to, do I have time to, you know, I even in my mind, it's like, well, is there somebody I could talk to just for a few minutes? And Jensen said, if you leave, the van needs to, this van has a slow leak. Got to fix that tire before you leave. I don't have time to deal with it. So we switched vans, and I took that van and went to Martinsburg Tire. And quick, again, I'm getting home, so I have a little bit of time to prepare this before we go to the wedding. And like, okay, I get into that tire shop. Unbelievable. There's probably 8 people in there that I knew needed to get saved. A few minutes of, hey, can you fix this tire? It was 10:30. And he said, leave the van here. And I had somebody pick me up, and I went home. And what did I see? Oh, and by the way, while I was at the store, Viola came in. I thought, if I would have thought about it, again, I was distracted, but if I would have thought about it, I would have asked Viola, are you born again? Are you saved? But, you know, we can get so busy. But, you know, I think if we just keep it, sometimes if you give your children a message, or my employees, I give them a message and I said, I got it. You know, 2 hours later, you come back and it's like, you know what? They must not have got the message, because it's still laying there. Still there. God's like, did you get the message? I'm starting to. And in verse 36, he was moved with compassion because they fainted. Fainted. The NIV, I believe, uses, or another translation uses, they were harassed. He seen the multitude was harassed. And as sheep having no shepherd. what does a multitude look like when they're harassed? And the idea of fainting has the idea of giving up spiritually. We're not going to fight anymore. We're done. We're not going to fight spiritually. Helpless and unaware of the surroundings, unaware of reality. What about life after death? And no shepherd. Trying to picture a sheep out in the field with no shepherd. I mean, they're just kind of wandering. And at night, to get into the sheep pen, there's no gates, there's no walls, there's no protection. I believe that's what he's seen. In verse 37, then he said to his disciples, so now he says, hang on, guys, I need help. Before everything, it seemed like he had pretty much had it under control. Verse 37, he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the workers are few. It's like, guys, there's all these people need salvation. They need help. And yet I don't have enough workers. Seemed like there was a little problem there. Jim Zimbler was talking about how that God had a problem. Really? God has a problem? Why don't you just fix it? He's trying to fix it, but he needs you and I to help. Are we helping? The harvest is great. The labors are few. Is anyone looking for a job? There's plenty. Maybe you fill out an application. And sometimes I thought about, you know what? If remind myself every morning, I got my glasses on, I got to have these. Should carry another pair of glasses. I was going to bring another pair of glasses along and hang him on a chain or something. But just a reminder that you got your spiritual glasses on this morning before you leave work? Just somehow to remind us, what is the problem? Some stats that is, you know, 95% of all Christians have never won someone to the Lord. 80% of Christians never even share their faith. Only 2% of all Christians are active in evangelism ministry in their church. 2%. 63% of leadership, including deacons and elders, have not led one stranger to Jesus in the last 2 years. And it goes on. There's more. So I was just trying to thinking. So the other day, as I was thinking of all of this, and here comes a guy. All right, Larry, just start. I'm like, well, what are some ways? So I had sometimes on, if these are people that I know on a kind of everyday basis, and I've asked them, purpose to ask, so what's the good word? And but the guy the other day, it's like, okay, here's a job. I was loading, filling up peaches, and I was in a hurry, and he came over here, and he said, boy, you're doing something right here. He said, your parking lot's full, and you got good food in here, and I don't forget what. And here's the guy that he comes. He's been coming in for years. He was a real Sarah and Marita were making the bread. That rye bread, it was the best ever. And we switched bakeries. He quit eating rye bread. He refused. But anyway, so I felt like he was kind of he let you know that he didn't appreciate the new bread. This guy was standing right beside me, and occasionally I would talk to him, and it was just like that. I said, you know, and I listened to him for a while, and finally I said, somebody recently was talking to me about Jesus, and I said, what do you think about, talking about Jesus, what do you think about that? And he said, well, you know what? If Jesus and I are buddies, and that's all good. I love Jesus. I love God. And it's like here, he's born again. He said, if we have Jesus, that's all that counts. And he said, what I don't like about a lot of times is people referring to church and Bible. But you know what? Talking about Jesus, that's the main source. I'm like, well, praise the Lord. And I briefly shared a little bit about my personal testimony, and he was, Lord, it's like, what was so difficult about that? But then when you come to the tire shop in Martinsburg, you know, here's guys that are, you know, tattoos all over and getting ready to jump on their Harley, and it was Saturday noon, and they were all ready to leave, but What I was just looking at a few in closing here, a few ideas. What can we use? Tracks. One thing I just wanted to share is, I don't know how many of you have got a card from Grandpa here, my father-in-law Enos. He put together three different cards. I think he put together one on salvation, one on faith, and different things, and passed them out. Or we can pass out tracks. Pulled up forget what the name of the tracks, but passing out tracks for conversation pieces. Or sometimes I think it's maybe good even to ask a person, say, hey, you know what, I'm doing a survey here, and I'm just curious about what your evaluation is about, what do you think about what will happen to people after they die? Or what do you think about Jesus? And just different ideas. I remember years ago in Florida, I was a lawn guy, and I asked him about being born again, and he was like, we don't use that terminology in our church. You must be born again. We don't. That was not a. Didn't seem to be. Or the other thing I like, if and again, be sensitive and careful. But I'm like, you know, if you were to die tonight and you would be standing at the door of heaven, and God would say, "Why should I let you in?" What would you say? And just, I'm just taking, kind of keeping a survey of what people would say about that. But I think if, I looked at, so just Google a little bit, what are the two main reasons why people don't witness? And Arthur, it's Mark Cohill, I never heard of him before, but he said, there's scared of rejection and people don't know how. Was the two things that he said. And there's many more that you can, that you, if you Google and look at. But I feel like if we ask God to see, give me a greater portion of a compassion for people. And by the way, I was going to give you the title of my message and I forgot. Just do it. Just do it. You know, you've seen t-shirts, different things, phrases, whatever. Just do it. Just start. You know, people may be tired of it and reject and walk on. It's like, you know what? We're not responsible for move on to the next one. There may be rejection. And you know, four different people this morning that finished the last verse here, 38, pray ye therefore, pray. Told his disciples to pray. It's not, you don't need to do all the work here, but I want you to pray. Pray. Do you know one song that Kenny led? Spend much time in prayer in secret. He talked about that. Kenlan, he read in Timothy, talked about lifting up holy hands and pray. And I think when Austin opened up over here, some of the first things that you read off, talked about pray. And I'm like, wow, Lord must want us to pray. And that's what he said in verse 38, is to pray. Are we praying? At least we could do. If we're not comfortable to go out, you know, there may be others that we do that, but at least pray. Spend much time in secret. Spend much time with Jesus. That's what's been happening for me personally, and I thrived it, and as I was talking more to this Joe Schrock, he started telling us about all that little process that he went through, and he said, you know, he said I was dealing with depression, I was suicidal, because I knew that on one hand my mom and dad don't want me to leave, they don't want me to leave the Amish, and I don't want to be Amish, and here I am in between, I'm depressed, discouraged. Suicidal. What do I do? And he stepped out and made that decision. God help us get a what we see when you see people. To ask God to help us to really see what He sees and have compassion. Let's pray. Lord, we're humbled as we just gather here this morning. And we never know the opportunities that we will have to witness to people. We only may have one chance. But God, we know that in spite of all of that, that you're merciful that you're gracious. That even as Jesus left the example here for us, full of compassion, and he was able to see beyond the physical. God, help us as we part from here, go our ways today, this week, that we would sow the seeds of joy, seeds of peace, of salvation to those around us. We thank you for that in Jesus' name.